Please turn your Bibles again to Exodus chapter 25. Exodus 25. I'm going to return once more to the subject of the candlestick mentioned here in Exodus 25. And so we'll read together from the verse number 31. Reading the Word of God from Exodus 25, in the verse number 31, the Word of God says, "And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made. His shaft and his branches, his bowls, his knops and his flowers shall be of the same. And 6 branches shall come out of the sides of it, 3 branches of the candlestick out of one side, and 3 branches of the candlestick out of the other side. 3 bowls made like unto almonds with a knop and a flower in one branch, and 3 bowls made like almonds in the other branch with a knop and a flower, so in the 6 branches that come out of the candlestick. And in the candlestick shall be 4 bowls made like unto almonds with their knops and their flowers. And there shall be a knop under 2 branches of the same, and the knop under 2 branches of the same, and the knop under 2 branches of the same, according to the 6 branches that proceed out of the candlestick. Their knops and their branches shall be of the same. All it shall be one beaten work of pure gold. And thou shalt make the 7 lamps thereof, and they shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over it against it. And the tongs and the snuff dishes thereof shall be of pure gold. Of a talent of pure gold shall he make it with all these vessels. And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount." Amen. May God bless the study of his word again to your hearts tonight for his name's sake. It's been interesting that in our recent studies, both here in the prayer meeting and also on the Lord's Day, we've been looking at this matter of light, chiefly Christ being the light of the world. The Bible speaks of humanity as being in darkness due to the fall. And when the Lord walked on this earth, he laid claim to deity in the form of the words, "I am come a light into the world." That's not often that we turn to that verse in terms of a claim to deity, but the Lord's word echoes the words of Psalm 27:1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." He is making clear that as the light of the world, come a light into the world, he's emphasizing his deity, and he's showing us that the light that he shows us is the very light of God. Note, he says, "I am come into the world." This is again another reflection on Christ as being the pre-incarnate deity, the eternal Son of God, come in the flesh. As we saw in John 1, he comes as the Word incarnate, and as the Word, he is the light that is the life of men. He is the Lord Jehovah. At the same time, as Christ comes into the world, he reveals that unbelievers are in darkness. And what we saw is that this darkness is both moral and spiritual. They dwell in the darkness of sin rather than the light of God's holiness, and they dwell in the darkness of ignorance rather than the light of the knowledge of God in Christ Jesus. Darkness that is sin rather than light that is holiness. Darkness that is ignorance rather than knowledge that comes through knowing Christ. And thus, sinners will only fellowship with God and only commune with God when they are in the light that God provides. And that's exactly what we're seeing in the tabernacle here. That as the priests go to conduct their services in the holy place, as they take the showbread and as they offer the incense upon the altar, they can only do so in the light that God provides. And the light that is Christ. So let me very quickly recap what we saw last time, just for those of you who are not here, and perhaps for the benefit of a reminder for all of us. We saw that the source of light is God himself. This candlestick is made of pure gold, pointing to God and to deity, emphasizing that God himself is the source of this light. And we saw Psalm 36, that it is in God's light that we see light. He is the one that shows us the light, and he himself is that light in terms of his holiness and in terms of the knowledge of himself that he gives us. The source of light is God, which led to the second point, which is the Son, who is the incarnate light. It is the light of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ in 2 Corinthians 4. Christ is come, a light into the world, as we've already noticed in John chapter 12 and the verse number 46. If God is the source of true light, then that light must be manifest in the incarnate God. That our understanding of biblical Christology, emphasizing that the humanity of Christ is that in which deity dwells, then we are seeing in the incarnate Christ the very revelation of God. As he walks in this earth, he manifests the Father perfectly. And so the lampstand is said to uphold and reveal the light that is Christ Jesus. And the people which sat in darkness, they saw great lights, referring, of course, to the coming of Jesus Christ into the world. I am the light of the world, John chapter 8. So you have the source of the light being God himself, the Son then, the manifestation of that light. And then we also thought about how the scriptures are described in terms of light, a light in a dark place. The word incarnate is also the word that is placed in scriptures, and the scriptures, the word of God, they act as a lamp, a light to your feet and to your path. So you have also then, the fourth place, the significance of the Spirit and the light. The Spirit, of course, who reveals Christ in the inspiring of the Word of God. It is through the Spirit that we see this light. The light comes as the Spirit of God shows us Christ Jesus. And that also shown in this portion. That's in Leviticus chapter 24, where pure olive oil was used. And we saw how that olive oil is then referred to in Zechariah chapter 4. The olive oil that comes from the olive trees, lighting the light, the candlestick in Zechariah 4. It is not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of God, saith the Lord. Of course, it is by the Spirit that we see Christ in fellowship with God. It is by the Spirit that Christ is revealed to us. No man can call Jesus Lord but by the Spirit. In the same sense also, our prayers and our supplications are to be in the Spirit. So keeping all that in mind, what you're seeing in this candlestick is a revelation of the triune God and how he illuminates sinners as they see themselves and see God in the light. But going further, there is a wonderful theme that weaves its way through the scriptures. Yes, God is the source of light, and that light is revealed to sinners in Christ Jesus. Christ in turn is revealed in the Word, but we also see the people of God in view in this lampstand. And so we see the saved and the light, or the saints and the light. The saints show the light of Christ in the world. And this is recognized from the word that is used. We have in verse number 31 this word candlestick that is used here. Candlestick. Now the word for candlestick in the Greek translation of the Old Testament is used in Hebrews chapter 9, speaking of the candlestick of the tabernacle. Hebrews 9 verse 2, a tabernacle made the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread. So the Greek word used in the Septuagint for candlestick in Exodus 25 is then used by Paul in Hebrews chapter 9, and that same word is then used over in Revelation. Turn to Revelation chapter 1, please. So I'm showing you a line in terms of the words that are used. Exodus 25 is translated into Greek in the Septuagint. That is then used in Hebrews chapter 9, translated with the word candlestick, and the very same word is used in Revelation chapter 1 and the verse number 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Then verse number 20, Revelation 1 verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels or the messengers of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. There's a direct equivalence here between the candlesticks and the churches in view to whom Christ will speak in chapters 2 and 3. And so we're seeing here there must be something within the language of the tabernacle candlestick that teaches us regarding the people of God and how they function as lights. So you turn back to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Do we see this borne out in the Word of God? And you know the answer. The answer, of course, is yes. We see it borne out often in the Word of God, that the people of God are seen to be light themselves. Matthew chapter 5 and the verse number 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, we understand from John chapter 8 that Christ says of himself, I am the light of the world. And yet here in the Sermon on the Mount, he says to the people of God, ye are the light of the world. There is no contradiction here, of course. For the people of God, as we'll see, are the light of the world as they show Christ, who is the light of the world. And so this correspondence is seen that the people of God, as they show their good works, they are showing Christ in the world. So you think also of the words of Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, you could turn there. Ephesians 5. And the verse number 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. The indicative, ye are light, therefore the imperative, walk as children of light. The command flowing out of the certainty, ye are light, therefore walk as children of light. Similarly, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 5, Paul refers to the people of God as the children of light. And so, establishing that theme, that as you see the candlestick and see how that works its way into the New Testament, we see that there must be lessons to learn for us regarding the candlestick in the tabernacle, but teaching us regarding our own functioning as the children of light in the world. So I have three things I want to leave with you, really, in terms of this study. I want to show you to begin with that it is God's will for his people to be light in the world. The will of God for his people. You think of the words here of Ephesians chapter 5. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. This is indication of God's will. There's a command sense to it. We are to walk as children of light. We who once were in darkness. Indeed, notice it says in verse number 8, it does not say ye were sometimes in darkness. It says ye were sometimes darkness. Not our very nature was one of darkness. Moral darkness, devoid of the light of God in terms of God's holiness. Spiritual darkness in light of our ignorance, in want of God's revelation and knowledge. And we who were darkness, living in darkness, receive the light that is Christ, and that light is what is to shine in our lives. Christ shines in and through his church, and thus the church is rightly called in Revelation chapter 1, a candlestick. And before I said more, it's worth noting that the church body corporate is referred to as the candlestick, the local church. Not just the universal church, but rather these local manifestations, the church in Philippi, the church in Ephesus, the church in Philadelphia, whatever it might be, these local churches, they are candlesticks in the world. Reminding us again of the importance of our unity as the people of God. That is, as we are unified as God's people, that therefore we properly show our light. But as local churches are made up of individuals, so each of those individual members are responsible to show the light of Christ in the world. We are those who bear Christ's light to others. Not our own holiness, not our own knowledge, but Christ in us and through us. Sometimes I ask the question, why are we not saved and instantly glorified? Why not? It's not because sanctification makes us more fit for heaven. We enter heaven because of our justification. So on what purpose, therefore, are we kept on this earth? Well, of course, there are several reasons. But surely chief, if not chief, certainly high up in the list of reasons must be that we are kept in this world, that we in turn would show Christ to others. As Christ has left this scene of time in terms of his physical presence, so he's left his candlestick in the form of the church. And we show Christ in the world. You see, turn over please to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Of course, Philippians, this book that speaks about our unity and the need for the church to know unity in the things of God, says in verse 14, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." We are to be in the darkness. It is not God's will for God's people to remove their light afar off from the darkness of the world. This, of course, does not deny the doctrine of biblical separation. We are not to compromise. We're not to put our light out to go into the darkness. We are to bring our light into the darkness. And the text is very clear. Among whom we shine as lights in the world. There is nothing in the Word of God that encourages some sort of Christian ghetto or Christian convent situation like the Church of Rome advocated. There is a need for God's people to engage without sin in the functioning of this world. We are to shine as lights in the world. Verse 16, holding forth the word of life. And there you see John chapter 1 coming out, that the life and the light come together, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. So it is the will of God that we in turn then show Christ in this world. Now, how does that then help us to understand some of the types and the shadows that we see in the candlestick back in Exodus chapter 25? Well, it is taught, of course, in the Word of God that light comes from fruitful branches. Here we're going to have to mix some metaphors here. But the image of the candlestick that is given to Moses on the mount is an image of almonds in different stages of fruitfulness. The bud, the leaf, and the fruit, if I can translate some of the words that are used in our authorized version. They are the stages of fruitfulness of the almond tree. And I believe we are being taught that as the almond tree is bearing fruit, so light then shows. Now, and we know that. We understand that in our own understanding of the Word of God. You take John chapter 15. Go back to John 15. Again, I acknowledge we are mixing some of the images that we have in the Word of God, but I think the lampstand itself does that. It has light, but it has light in the form of a plant. It's not accidental. Nothing that God does is accidental. And so you have John 15, verse 1, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." And then verse number 5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, or outside of me, or apart from me, ye can do nothing." And so our usefulness in doing the will of God is intimately related to our union with Christ Jesus. And there are many who may have some form of desire to be prominent and to show that they know something. But if they are not attached to Christ, then they are not showing the light of Christ in the world. There is this direct connection between our fruitfulness in terms of the work of the Spirit as Christ liveth in me, that we then show this light that is Christ in the world. And so the light itself must be defined as Christ-likeness. He works in our lives that which is likeness to Him. Spiritual living and the Spirit of work in our lives is what reveals this light through our lives. How do you govern your conduct? How do you determine if you're being a light in the world? Well, you examine it against the light that is Christ Jesus. You see his actions, and you hear his words, and you ask yourself the question, do I show Christ in my actions and in my words? Life and lip. And that's the way in which the church will show Christ in the world. There's all sorts of other things churches can get involved in. All manner of things that may be legitimate inside the context of the Church of Christ, but they must all fit under this particular thought, that if we are functioning as churches in the world, it must be that we show Christ without compromise, and that we are lights in terms of His holiness, lights in terms of the revelation of God, as we show Christ with our lives and with our lips, among whom we shine as lights in the world. It's familiar. Only you can do the business of getting before the Word of God and searching your own life. Are you a light in the workplace? Are you a light in the neighborhood? How do you know if you're a light in the workplace and neighborhood? Well, examine your conduct in light of the example of Christ and His words and His actions. Are you a light in social media? Are you conducting yourselves in that form as Christ would have conducted Himself in this world? Can you be clear in your mind that in the darkness of social media, you indeed are a light in that place? And so in all manner of ways, we examine ourselves and we say, well, it is God's will for His people to be light, but when we define that light, it is the light that is Christ-likeness produced as we are fruitful in His work. And so you have the sense of God's will for His people to be light. The second point I want you to understand is God's watchfulness over the light. I've said to you, I think, on several occasions in the studies in the tabernacle, that the Hebrew nouns flow out and are derived out of Hebrew verbs. So the root word is the doing word, out of which come the various nouns. And what is interesting is that the noun almond, as that noun, is derived from the verb which speaks of vigilance. You'll see it over in Jeremiah. Look at Jeremiah chapter 1, please. In Jeremiah chapter 1, there is here a play on words that you will not perceive in the English Bible, but it's there in the Hebrew. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 11, where it says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree." So here's the noun, the almond noun that's mentioned here. And then verse number 12, "Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it." And the word hasten there in our English Bibles is the verbal form of the noun for almond in verse number 11. And the idea is that God is going to watch over His word, ensuring its completion, its performance. God's vigilance over His promises, that He will not fail to do all He promises to do. You see the same idea over in Jeremiah 31. Or again, the same verb is used in Jeremiah 31 and the verse number 28. "And it shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them," there's the word, watched over them, "to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Lord." And the context is of this new covenant, that as God kept His word in judgment, so God will keep His word in restoration. He watches over them with vigilance. It is not without cause that God says to Moses, "Make this candlestick like unto an almond tree." For the Hebrew, they would see the almond, and they directly understand that as they see the object of in their sight, so they understand that there's a verbal application of that, and it has a sense of vigilance. Yes, God's light watching over fellowship, but also God Himself protecting and preserving that light. The light that is Christ Jesus has never gone out in the world. Never. Even in the darkness of the dark ages prior to the Reformation, there was still a flickering of that gospel light. God has preserved His light in this world for all generations. And He will not fail to keep watch over the candlestick that is the church. It's a tremendous blessing to keep in mind that as the church's function is to show the light of Christ, so God so works to preserve that light. And we rejoice in His goodness. He is a God that watches over us to build and to plant. So you have God's will for his people to be light. You have God's watchfulness over the light. And finally, you have God's working in the light. Go back to Exodus chapter 25. And there are details here that I have not yet touched on. Exodus 25. And you head towards verse number 38. And you'll see there are references here to tongs and snuff dishes. What's involved here in the tongs and the snuff dishes? Well, these items are items that most commentators view as referring to the matter of trimming the lamps. That was what they would do. Daily, the priests were to remove any dead material from the wick that might prevent the light from shining brightly. If the wick was defective, then the oil couldn't effectively flow through, and so the light would be dim. The word for tongs here comes from the word to tek, and the snuff dishes from the word that has a sense of removal. So take away and remove this part of the wick so that the light will burn brightly. There was, of course, the function of the priests to make sure the light functioned. We understand in that there is the duty to make sure Christ is seen in the world. But we're looking at the lampstand here, the candlestick, in terms of a picture of the people of God and the lessons regarding the people of God. And note the tongs and the snuff dishes, they were to be made of pure gold. We're being shown the work of God here in the lampstand. We're being shown the work of God in the candlestick and its functioning as they trim the lights. God works in our lives using tongs and snuff dishes. He takes out things that would hinder the light, removes them from the wick so that we can burn brightly for him. We think of the chastening of God, Hebrews chapter 12, "For they verily for a few days chastened us as the fathers after their own pleasure, but he for our profit that we might be partakers of his holiness." How do we see God's holiness? We see it in the light, 1 John 1. It is God's work in our lives as he chastens us and works in us. So using tongs and snuff dishes removes that which would hinder the light. Such a cutting process at times, of course, is painful. But it is that we would shine more brightly for Christ. We should not resent the work of God in making us shine more brightly for Christ Jesus. It should be our burden, our desire, to do what God wants us to do in this world, to be his lights in the world, to show Christ to the world. And if that is the burden of our hearts and that is our desire, then we should be glad when God works in our lives so that we are made more like unto Christ Jesus. You know your own experiences, you know your own situations, and you all can think of times when God has taken the tongs and snipped the wick, and in so doing has made you burn more brightly for Christ Jesus. And we thank the Lord for such things. And of course, if we see the saved here in the candlestick, we must again close with the reminder that the oil, the olive oil that burns, the picture of the Spirit of God. And if you go back to Ephesians 5 as we close, you will see the connection again that we are to be children of light. We are to show Christ in the world. And what follows? Ephesians 5 verse 8, "Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." It's the Spirit of God that works in us to produce this light. And so you have all the way down through to verse number 18, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." That's seen in the candlestick, isn't it? That the olive oil is used to keep the light burning, and so we must have the Spirit of God in our lives if we are to show Christ in the world. These are very simple principles. We could teach them from other parts of the New Testament, but there is something encouraging when we see them pictured in the Old Testament types and shadows. We see the unchanging ways of God. We see that God works in his people, making them fruitful by the Spirit of God, whereby they show Christ. And perhaps the picture of the candlestick will be so ingrained in your mind that you will live your life day by day depending upon the Spirit and having that determination of soul, depending on the Spirit and determined. Determined that when people see you, they would see Christ Jesus in you. May God be pleased to use us in this world of darkness for the light of the glory of God. Amen. May God bless His word to all of our souls tonight for Christ's sake.